Turn them to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The title of the message is Put Up the Crib. I can't think of anything more terrifying as a parent than having to put together a baby crib. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a big deal to you, but with my incredible building skills, putting together a crib would be a nightmare. Actually, putting together anything would be a nightmare. But there was an excitement that came when we found out we were having kids. I mean, you can't deny there is an excitement about getting ready for a newborn baby. And the story this morning from Luke chapter 2 is the story about God getting the world ready for His Son. And there is excitement with the birth of this Son. And this morning we're going to look at some things. We're going to look at this through the eyes of being a parent and looking forward to the birth of the child. And we're going to look and see that even though it's a fun Christmas story that we repeat, really and truly, to be at that first Christmas would not have been that easy. And here's what I know. Maybe your Christmas so far hasn't been that easy. And the good news is that there's hope. And that's what I want us to see this morning from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. A story that you probably read every Christmas, a story that you're very familiar with. But a lot of times we don't really realize what was going on, and we don't realize the impact, and we don't realize how difficult it may have been for the people involved. So I've kind of divided this up into several sections. And the first one is this, and you find this in the first seven verse. You find the due date. Now everybody knows about getting the due date. You know, you're expecting a child, you go to the doctor, and they give you a due date. And you're so excited because on this due date, you're going to have a kid, right? Most of the time. In our case, we were given a due date. And 2.5 months early, they arrived to the point that we did not have a room ready. The timing was not very good for us. But the thing I want you to think about in this particular story, the timing couldn't have been any worse for Joseph and Mary. I mean, just imagine, he's got a wife and she's pregnant. That's the first struggle. She's pregnant. And in that day, you're not going to be ordering an epidural in the future, and you're not going to have a nice, clean hospital to go to. I mean, knowing that you're going to have a due date could be a little bit scary. And here's the thing that gets me, is that they had a due date, and then right in the middle of this story, the governor decided to take up taxes to pay for the army. So here's Joseph, who's engaged to be married to Mary, and she's pregnant, and she's not just pregnant, she's very pregnant, and they have to go, now get this, think about it, they have to go to his family's town to pay taxes. Now, I can't think of anything worse to go along with having a baby than having to pay taxes too. Now get this, not only did they have to go pay taxes, but they had to travel 70 to 80 miles. Now, they didn't get in the car. They didn't get in a bus. They had to travel. We don't really know for sure how they got 70 miles or 80 miles to the hometown of David. But Joseph had to take his wife there. And I can't imagine the timing being any worse than having to go on a road trip with a very pregnant wife to a town that's not your town. It may have been your family's town, but you're living in Nazareth and you're having to go to Bethlehem. Now, the interesting thing I want you to see here is that it was no mistake. See, you guys need to understand something about government. We think government is in control of government. Guys, God's in control of the government. Now, let me ask you something. Was the Roman government at that time godly? Absolutely not. And they were having this tax. And we think God must have made a mistake. But the truth was, God had prophesied in the Old Testament that that baby would be born in Bethlehem. And so, in order to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem from Nazareth, they took a tax. It's no mistake. In Micah 5:2, you find the prophecy that tells us that the child will be born in Bethlehem. It's no mistake. God's timing was perfect. He had this decree by a pagan political figure that they had to pay taxes in order to fulfill his prophecy in Micah 5:2. So the timing's not good. Mary's pregnant. They have to travel a long distance. And when they get to the place, guess what? There's no place for them to stay. Now, I've never thought about this before. If that was Joseph's hometown, it looks like there should have been some family saying, "You can stay with us." Then it dawned on me, maybe they were embarrassed. She's pregnant. They're engaged. Maybe his family was not as kind as they should have been. They get there. They go all the way to Bethlehem, and there's no place to stay. They didn't have hotels and motels just lying around. You many times just had to stay with family, or if you had money, you would be able to stay with people in the inn. But there was no place. So they had to find a place. Now get this, that's the worst kind of timing. Because there would have been people from all over coming back for this tax. So they finally found a place. We don't know if it's a nativity like that. It could have been a cave We just know it's where they kept the animals. Can you get this? Jesus is going back to be born in basically a barn. And a manger is where they fed the animals. It is a feeding trough. And yet, God was born in a feeding trough. Timing wasn't good. You see, we need to understand that a lot of times in our lives, that the timing just seems to be a disaster. Wouldn't you agree? Would you like to be working for that company in Conway that just laid off 350 people right before Christmas? The timing couldn't be worse. Or looking at a government shutdown, if you work for the government, the timing couldn't be worse. Or having twin boys on a Sunday night couldn't have been worse. That's the worst time for a preacher to have a kids on Sunday night. And I will never forget it. We had a phone on the wall, which is an antique now. If you know, you older people know, we used to have phones on wall. Julie was talking to her mother on the phone. We were getting ready to go to church and her water broke. That's not a good sign. I didn't know what it meant because it was our first kids. But the doctor said, go to the hospital. The timing, you know, who's going to preach that Sunday night? And at that point, I didn't care. But the timing couldn't have been worse. My family was 3 hours away and 10 hours away. It couldn't have been worse. But we need to understand something. God's timing is not our timing. As a matter of fact, in Galatians 4:4, it says, but when the set time had fully come, or another translation, when the right time came, Jesus was born. Even though to Mary and Joseph, the timing of this baby coming couldn't have been worse, it was a part of God's plan. Jesus was born at the right time, the perfect time, God's time. And one of the things we need to understand is that God's timing very often is not our timing. And I don't know what you're going through this Christmas season, but everybody's going through something, some worse than others. But here's the deal. Don't think God's lost control of things. You may not understand it, but God's timing is perfect. And you may not understand it now, but you may understand it 10 years from now. And when I look at this story, I just see the beauty of God's timing. And here's the point. God's timing is best. God's timing is always best. I don't always understand God's timing, but God's timing is always perfect and best in my life. So whatever you're going through, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you just have to say, Lord, I'm hanging on. I'm trusting your timing. So God's timing is best. Now the second thing, let's talk about the labor and delivery. In Luke 2:7 and verse 16, it says, and she gave birth to her firstborn. Now that just tells us that she's going to have more than one kid, but her firstborn was Jesus. And he was different from the rest of the brood. But look what it says. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then in verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Now, not only did the timing seem off, the circumstances seemed off. I mean, they're there by God's timing, but the circumstances do not seem good. You, in that day, didn't go to a hospital to have a baby, but you had it in your home, the cleanest place that you had. And yet we find Mary and Joseph, and the circumstances, get this, are unsanitary and dirty. Aren't they? Now you think about, I'm a city boy. You people know all about chickens and dogs and Well, I know about dogs, but chickens and cows and all that stuff goes with it. Smell. I remember the first time I lived in Arkansas, I went in a chicken house. Whew! I remember them telling me they had a swine operation. They said, oh, you won't smell the swine operation. When the wind blows your way, it stinks. Okay? But here's the picture. This baby, now, it's not just a baby, it's God. He's being born in a barn. And he's being placed where they feed the cattle and the horses and whatever else eats hay, I guess. The circumstances couldn't... I can't think of anything more unsanitary than to have a barn with animals and a newborn baby. Maybe that's clean, I don't know. But the picture we have here is of the circumstances being absolutely horrible, stinky, unsanitary. They're not protected from the elements, really. Just the rain, maybe, and the wind. The circumstances do not seem right for God to be born. Remember, the baby is God. You maybe can't wrap your mind around that concept, but that baby is God. And the trouble with too many of our Christian, not even Christian, our secular thinking, we love to sing about the baby, but the baby never gets out of the manger to our culture. That was God in that manger. God, who would grow up to die for your sins and my sins. What we need to understand is that a lot of times in our life, even at Christmas, the circumstances don't seem right. And yet, when the circumstances didn't seem right, God was born. Why? Because God has a different time frame. You know, you don't control when a baby's born, do you? You know, we were so excited when we found out we were going to have twins. And we were in a church in Horatio, Arkansas, my first church, and we were so poor. And the circumstances with my income did not seem to be good for having a baby that would have to spend a considerable amount of time, babies, have to spend a considerable amount of time in the NICU. You know, you're supposed to be in the NICU when you have a well-paying job and good insurance. But we didn't have that. I'll never forget when we're checking out, which means I was having to go down to the payment office, and they asked me how I wanted to pay for it. And I looked at the bill. I mean, two premature kids are not cheap. And we paid a long time for those two kids. Long time. The circumstances couldn't have been worse. The timing 2 months early couldn't have been worse. But here's what I know. God's still in control. He has a plan. Your life, the circumstances might be horrible. Some of you this week have watched a brother pass. I've watched my dad die this last year. Listen, God's still in control. And He hadn't lost control. And we don't understand all that goes on right now in our lives. But here's the good news. That's what Christmas is all about. It shows us that God is still in control. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So just understand this. If life is not going the way you thought it should go, maybe it's going exactly the way God wants it to go, and His plan is so big that you can't see how in the world it's going to be good. But it is. His plan is the right plan. So what do you do when your circumstances and your timing are so difficult? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then listen to this. And lean not on your own understanding. When the circumstances don't seem right, when the timing don't seem right, just give up trying to figure it out. There are some things we'll never figure out in this lifetime. But trust in Him. Listen to what He says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. That means put Him first. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. When the circumstances and the timing of your life are crazy, just trust Him and keep following Him. That's all you can do. Listen, all Mary and Joseph could do that first Christmas was to trust God with their circumstances. So trust Him with your circumstances. Know that God's timing is best. And then the third thing is every baby that's going to be born has a baby shower, right? Right? We had baby showers. I didn't understand them a lot of times, but we'd get together. It was a fun time to celebrate. And I love in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16 and verse 20, that God gives a baby shower for His newborn son. Even though the timing was wrong and the circumstances were difficult for Mary and Joseph, God's timing was perfect, and He said, we're going to celebrate the birth of my son. We're going to have a baby shower. And I love the story. So what happened? You got shepherds. Well, we only have one. We're lucky to have one. But we've got a shepherd out here. He's taking care of the sheep. And the angels come to the shepherds. And you got to understand this about shepherds. Shepherds were a part of the most lowly occupation that you could have at that time. They were not trusted. They were considered to be thieves. They were considered to be dirty, immoral. Shepherds were the last people in the world you would think would get the announcement that Jesus, the Savior, was born. But that's exactly who the angels came to. They came to these shepherds out in the field. And they came to them, and the shepherds were scared to death. And yet the angel said, don't be afraid. This is the Savior. This baby is the Savior. He said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You see, the least likely people were the first people to find out about Christmas. The good news. The outcast, the people who didn't belong in church. That's who God went to first. And those shepherds were so scared, and yet it changed their life. You can see it in the following verses. But they come out there and they make the announcement, and then we find out in the story that the angels in heaven appeared and they started to celebrate the birth of the kid. It was a baby shower party. God's Son had been born, the Savior of all the world. But the point that I love about these no good for nothing shepherds that weren't allowed in and who weren't trusted is that they got it. Because how did they respond? They celebrated. You see, Christmas is not just all these stories, people. It's not just these songs that we love and these decorations that we have. If you don't understand this about Christmas, you miss it every year. It's about your Savior being born. It's about hope. It's about potential for the future. And the sign was not some majestic king. The sign that the shepherds were told to look for was a baby wrapped in cloths in a feeding trough. And so what did these uneducated, dirty, mistrusted shepherds do? They went and looked for Him. And they found Him lying in a manger. And they celebrated. Don't forget, celebrate the good news. Get the baby out of the manger at Christmas. Here's what I mean. Get Him out of the manger. Remember the reason He came. He came to die. I remember one time I talked about this and somebody said, to me after the service, "Oh, don't talk about dying on the cross at Christmas." And I wanted to say, "What's wrong with you? If he just stays in the manger, he's just a baby. But the fact that he died on the cross for my sins and was resurrected from the dead, that's something to get happy about." See, and too many people, they have the nativities, but he stays in the manger. He's not their Lord and Savior. And so this Christmas, we only have two more Sundays left. Well, we have one Sunday and Christmas Eve. When you come into this place, you ought to be happy. And you ought to celebrate through singing. And, you know, it is a good time. It is a time of hope. Why? Because of His Savior. Don't forget to celebrate the good news. And that is what Christmas is. It's good news. A Savior born for everybody. And then the fourth thing, you know, if you have a baby, you're supposed to send out birth announcements, right? You know, we did it. And I know from a male perspective, I get them in the mail and I go, "Oh, I already know that." But I don't tell my wife's like, "Oh, so-and-so had a baby." And I'm thinking, yeah, we've known that for a while. You know, they've been pregnant. They have a baby. Big deal, you know. Sorry if I just hurt somebody's feelings. Send us your birth announcements. She'll read them and I'll look at them and I'll think, I'm usually the second person to know. I mean, you know, but send them out anyway. But here's what I love. Look at verse 17 and 18. It says, when they, talking about the no good scoundrel shepherds that nobody thought was spiritual, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You see, God didn't send out birth announcements through the mail. He sent out shepherds. Now, all these people are knowing these shepherds, and they're no good for nothing shepherds, and they're not very spiritual, and they're dirty, and they're thieves. And guys, get this. But who did God choose to send the good news through? You see, as church people, first of all, number one, you're not much better than they are. There ain't anybody in this room really good. Okay? Problem is, a lot of times we think we're better than we are. We're all saved by grace. But we all don't share the good news like the shepherds did. You know, least likely people to share the good news, but I'm thankful that they did. When they had seen him, they shared the good news. And folks, here's the thing. It's Christmas in Mount Ida. Who are you going to share the good news with? You just going to sing about it? Talk about it? Who are we going to share with that the solution for our sin and our problems is Jesus? Don't leave him in the manger this Christmas. Don't leave him in the manger. Share the good news. That's the truth of those two verses. Share the good news. It's Christmas. The timing in our life might be off. The circumstances in our life might be off. Let's try to do two things the rest of the time we have left before we celebrate. Let's celebrate. We have a Sunday and a Tuesday night. Let's celebrate. Let's just don't come sing. And two, let's share the good news. You miss Christmas if you don't understand the good news of it. The baby didn't stay in the manger. He died for us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Christmas story, and I